Chet Man, he is a God.
Good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. Some of you look like you need a hug this morning. God is good, isn't he? Yes, he is. He's wonderful. We've made it to the last Sunday of the year 2015. My, where has the time gone? I tell you what, it doesn't stop, does it? Do you thank God for his blessings this year? Yeah. Do you love God this morning? If you love God, I really love the Lord. Sing it if you love him. Yes, I really love the Lord. And you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the. Oh, I think we can sing it a little better than that. Sing it one more time. Yes, I really love the Lord. Oh, we. He's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me. Thank you, Father. And that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, yes, he watches over me, and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me big, yes, and that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love the Lord, and you don't know what. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen. amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you are our welcome guest here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Thank you for visiting with us for whatever reason. You are in town for the holidays. You are just passing by the freeway, or you just decided to visit today. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. You're watching by way of television. Thank you for joining, tuning in with us this morning. We hope we can say something that may cause you to ask a question, may pierce your heart. But more than that, it may want you may allow you or you desire to draw closer to our great God in heaven. If you have a question, if you need to talk to somebody, if you need someone to pray with you, we'll pray with you even this day. We'll do that. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Three Worthy Goals for 2016. Three Worthy Goals. Of course, we know that we may not get to 2016. It's not promised to us. And I know that you, like me, many of you, perhaps set goals for 2015. I did. And it's just that time of year. Sometimes we don't like looking back, but we can't change history. And I was, especially as I was preparing this lesson, I did look back and ask myself, what did I accomplish in 2015? You know, there's nothing wrong with asking that question. It's whether we like to answer or not. And I almost preached a different lesson this morning, but I said, you know, we can't change the past. And we can live for the future. Oh, wish we could change some of the past, don't we? But we can't change it. Nothing we can do about it. And if we don't do the right thing about it, it will affect your future. And I just looked in the Bible for some different things, and I saw so many things that I need to improve on. And we as Christians, and I know that I'm in a biased crowd this morning, but there may be someone here who is searching, who is looking for answers, for peace, for purpose. And we believe that it's found in the Word of God. Every word of it has all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I want to. You don't have to use these goals. But they come out of the Word of God, and I believe that they would be worthy goals for 2016. Number one, I hope that we can develop a see it like it already happened faith. I know that's not a word, but let me say it again. I hope that we can develop, can strengthen a see it like it already happened kind of faith. You know, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without faith, notice, it's impossible. Now, you know, that's a strong word, impossible. It's impossible to please God. And if we don't work on our faith, we're wasting our time when it comes to God. And faith is an unavailing trust. It's a belief and a trust that God, whatever God says, whatever God has promised, He can do. Notice that. He can do. He says it's impossible. He that comes to God must believe that He is, even though we haven't seen God. And I was reading some passages in the Bible that demonstrate this, see it like it already. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46. Everybody all right this morning? We'll warm up a little bit in just a second. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46. This is the Bible says, this is talking about David, you know him. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. This is before it actually happened. And David is fighting Goliath. And he is young, and somebody, people say, well, he's just young and naive. You know, some of us, we need to go back to our childness when we had some faith, when we did believe something, and we would say what we were going to be and what we were going to do. What happens to that faith is through time, we somehow lose our trust, lose our confidence, or somebody just knocked us down. And we don't believe anything, you know. But David, he says, he will deliver you into, and he was talking to Goliath. He says, I will strike you down. And now he sounds like Muhammad Ali used to sound. Muhammad Ali used to talk about him so bad. And he got, a lot of people just didn't like him because Muhammad Ali was so confident. And they'd ask Muhammad, are you gonna beat Joe Frazier? Are you gonna beat George Foreman? And Muhammad not only would say, I will beat, he said, I'll tell you when I'm gonna knock him out. And he would predict the round, and folks would just, man, that man is crazy. And Muhammad Ali would commence to whooping on those boys. And the majority of the time, he predicted just about right. And listen to what David said. He said, and he told him exactly what he says, I'll strike you down and remove your head from you. I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword. Notice this, by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Oh, boy, that's some confident talking. That's some seeing it like it already happened kind of faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. And I know even as I even read those words and read them out of God's word and speak the words, there still is somebody in here who is doubting God. Well, Gary, I tried praying to God, and I do think I that stuff just don't work. Go to Mark chapter 2, verse 3. Mark chapter 2, verse 3. Mark 2, verse 3. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men, being unable to get him because to get to him because of the crowd, to get to Jesus because of the crowd. They removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, notice, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Oh, that sounds like some see like it already happened kind of faith. Jesus is there. They commit to finding a way to Jesus. They dug out the roof in their minds. Only they had in their minds that we can only get to Jesus, this man will be healed. And the Bible says, Jesus seeing their faith. Does the Lord see our faith? Yeah, see, when was the last time that you actually prayed a prayer, but not only prayed a prayer, but got up and commenced to doing something like you absolutely knew God was going to deliver? Because notice, that's the only kind of faith that the Lord sees and gets his attention. See, weak faith is not rewarded by God. Yes, no faith is not rewarded by God. And it is a true saying that we must believe. He told the church at Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 19. He said this to them. I know your deeds and love your love and faith and service and perseverance. Notice that your deeds of late are greater than the first. Now, the kind of faith that God notices is a faith that moves, a faith that works, a faith that serves, a faith that perseveres. And that's the kind of faith that God notices. And he says, I know your works. I know your deeds. I know what you've been doing. I know what you've been thinking. I know what you've been saying in your mind. I know you believe that I can deliver. God knows that when we say it and when we think it and when we act on that, that's the kind of seeing like it already happened faith. And I would just hope that this coming year, these coming days, if the Lord sees fit for us to see them, that we would approach every day when we get up in the morning and we would call out to the Lord what we want to happen. And that we believe it with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our spirits. So this can apply in any area of your life. If you want a better home, if you want better children, if you want a better job, if you want better circumstances, if you want better health, who else do you ask? Who else would you seek? But somebody who can deliver, dare to give God the faith. Believe in God. Dare to believe that God can deliver. And I hope that as we develop our goals, we'll think like Jesus thought when he was on this earth. And he said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Yeah, don't be selfish in your faith. Don't be selfish in your goals and establish goals that are unselfish. Notice in all of these circumstances with David and with the four men, the goals that they would deliver would not only bless them, it would bless others. Notice, and it really is about blessing, that serving others. And when we serve others, that kind of faith, God really rewards. Because we serve others and God blesses others, but God blesses us while he's blessing others. And so don't be selfish and say, well, Brother Gary, I like that. And I'm gonna pray that car in my garage. And I'm gonna pray the money in my bank. Is that what you're saying? You're missing the point. Yeah, see, you're missing the point. Now notice this now. If you want a car, I pray for a car. But I hope you don't pray for that car and park it in that garage and go straight to work and come home and don't do nothing with that car to serve others in that car. Yeah, be unselfish and do something unselfish but challenging. I mean, you know, don't ask the Lord for crumbs. Yeah, you can get the crumbs yourself. Yeah, you can do that yourself. See, Goliath was bigger than David, bigger than everybody. Jesus, there was a crowd around him. Nobody couldn't get to him. And you ask, God likes great faith because when he gives you what you want, he wants to make sure he gets the glory for it. Yeah, he says challenging. So something unselfish, something challenging that will benefit more than you. Yes. Yeah, I wish I could get even more specific. Set an amount of time, amount of effort, even an amount of money that you're gonna dedicate or give to a cause, time, or ministry. Notice this, that serves others. You're thinking about serving others and you have faith that God can do anything that he wants to do, and know that God gonna bless you because your faith is big enough to say that I know God can do this and I'm gonna do my part. Yeah, think about something unselfish. The American educator, Horace Mann, he said this. He says, be ashamed to die until you've won some victory for humanity. Some of us need to think bigger in 2016. Get outside of your house. Get outside of just you and your family. Get outside of just thinking of me, myself, and I. And have some great faith and see it like it's already happened, whatever you ask the Lord for. You begin with the end in mind, with great faith. You see, you don't focus just on the beginning. And sometimes that's what we do, and we get bogged down and we see our situation. You got to see the end. You got to see the end, not the beginning. See, if we look at how so hard something is in the beginning, we'll never get started. Yeah, it's the beginning, it's the end, it's the end outcome. Yes, you can have a healthy family relationship. It's possible. Things might be kind of tough right now, but God, ask God to help you to have a more healthy family relationship. See your family smile and see your wife, your husband holding your hand. And see it like it's already happened. And ask God to help you through whatever situation that you might be going through. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 2. James 1, 2. He said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And see, that's what trips us up a lot of times. Yeah, trips us up, and we just in a situation, some of us in here right now, and all we can focus on is what's wrong, and I don't know what I'm going to do. You see, you're looking at the beginning. You're looking at the situation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God wants to reward your faith, but if you don't have no faith, he can't reward that kind of faith. He said, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Notice this, knowing that the testing of your faith, it produces endurance. Is anybody else in here need endurance but me? Yes. He says, let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The trial that you may be going through right now, therefore your completion. Yes. Yes, would you rather a surgeon who just got out of college to operate on your heart and he haven't had but two cases? Haven't had no complications, and he said, oh yeah, I performed two successful surgeries. I didn't have no problems at all. Or would you rather one who's been through 1,000 cases and who had some trials and tribulations? He may have lost one or two, but he's seen everything, and he endured, and he got better and better. Some of us are going through our trial period right now, but if you hold on, and if you see it like it's already happened, and you see toward the end when God is rewarding you, you will be better counseling somebody than somebody who hadn't been through anything at all. Some of us, God is sending through some trials right now so you can help somebody in the future. Yes, yes, yes. I hope we set a goal to have, see it like it already happened kind of faith. Boy, I need some help in that area. I need some help in that area. It helps you to dream bigger when you see. Some of us we don't want to dream big because we don't want to be disappointed. Yeah, we dare not. No, I'm not. I don't want to dream. That's a little bit too much. And you fall so short of God's blessings because you dare not to even think that God can do what he's waiting on to do for you right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you look all through the Bible and God rewarded great faith. Number two. Second goal is to love people intentionally. Love people intentionally. And I'm not giving specific goals, but I hope these would be some anchors that will guide you into whatever area is in your life. And the brother read in your hearing a few moments ago, and I know we've heard it over and over again, but I want to emphasize this morning how important this is to those that's trying to get to heaven. He says, if I speak, 1 Corinthians 13, 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging signal. I hope you need to read the whole chapter. But see, Paul was addressing a lot of things, and here He's talking about spiritual gifts and in the chapters before and all of these gifts and people craving these gifts and many of them craving them because they just want to be seen. They want to be somebody to brag on them. And he said, I don't care if you have the tongue of men. A man who can speak and use all the words and whatever vocabulary and impress folk with the words and the tongues of angels you speak, and you can have everybody's attention. But if you don't have love, the Bible says you are nothing. You are nothing. And listen to what else he says. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy, oh Lord, have mercy. And know all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have all faith, we just talked about faith a few minutes ago, as you go, you can have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love. He says, I am nothing. Notice this, what else he says? And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing, the Bible says. See, notice it. You can write all the goals down you want. You can be the best worker. You can have all kinds of talents. You can know everything. You can know every book in the Bible, where everything is found in the Bible. You can even prophesy. You can have faith even to remove mountains. But the Bible is telling us that love impresses God more than anything that we know. I think, you know what the world needs? There used to be a song we sing, what the world needs now. You know that song, love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little. I don't know who sang that song, but boy, they hit it right on the head. Who did? Dionne Warren. Yeah. They hit that one right on the head. Don't you agree that the world needs love? Everybody needs it. And I know some of us are grinding. You might be young and you want to accomplish all of these things. But if you don't exemplify, if you don't cultivate, if you don't develop love in your life, you don't impress. Notice, some of you might rebel against this. Love is more important than the truth. You bite on that. See, notice what the Bible said. See, you can know the truth and know it, but your motives, your heart, you have no compassion. You just want to show people that you know the truth. No, and listen. Some of the smartest people are also the coldest people. And the cruelest people. You can have all kind of knowledge, but if you have no compassion and love for people, that's what Paul is saying right here. You want the gifts. Why you want the gifts? Why do you want to have the gift of prophecy? Why do you want to have the gift of speaking tongues? So you can show out? So you can impress somebody? So they can say how great you are? Some of the best orators are the worst fathers. Not all of them. Are the worst wives. Are the worst husbands. On their job, they can give a presentation that will knock you off your feet. They'll go home and not say nothing to their children or their wife. I hope we set as a goal to love. Notice this, and love has to be, with those of us that are Christian, you have to decide in your mind that you're going to love people. Because you know folks will get on your nerves. You have to make up your mind ahead of time when you're coming in the Lord's house, when you're walking in the doors, that you know what? These are God's people. Everybody not on the same page as you. Some people had a bad night last night. Some people had a bad day. Some people had their husband and wife, they fussed all the week, and some people not in a good mood. Some people will come in here and won't speak to you, so you have to decide in your mind, I'm going to love them anyway. That's what they need to see. Hey, they don't need to see somebody as grumpy and grouchy as they are. Some of the most gifted individuals are also the most selfish individuals. They may be able to play the best basketball. They may be able to run the fastest on the track. They may be the best football player. They can play a violin with the best of them. But they don't speak to nobody. They don't associate with anybody. They don't share anything with anybody. They don't give to anybody. And Paul says, you are nothing to God. It profits you nothing to have all of those gifts, to be able to do all of those things. Even if you have faith as to remove mountains, it profits you nothing. Notice this. Now that's very powerful. I was reading, I'm like, my good. You mean I can be a Christian and I can be praying to God and say, Lord, I know you are able, and I've read your word and it's penetrated my heart, and I know you are able. I've seen you do all this to David and all these things. And I have that same kind of faith. Lord, I want you to help us with this project. I want you to lift it up. I know if you put your hands on it, it will succeed. Notice this, and it might succeed, but if your motives are wrong. If you just want the glory, Lord have mercy. And so I hope that we would set as a goal in 2016 to love people intentionally. Yeah, to listen, let me 1 Corinthians 8:1. 1 Corinthians 8:1. I just want you to reach you an example now concerning things sacrificed to idols. We know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge makes arrogant. And I'm reiterating this for maybe, I don't know, because I'm speaking to Church of Christ members who we always want to brag that we got the truth. That we all have knowledge, but knowledge makes arrogant. And that's the truth, don't it? Yeah. It does. It really does. The more I'm around other brothers and brother be rattling off scriptures and I'm like, you know what? I see you know the Bible, but you don't know people, or you don't care to know people. You don't care to you. Just, some of us, and I know you're not in here this morning, but some people just say anything. Don't care who, you know, I've been to some places and I've heard people speak and preach, and I say, thank the Lord that I didn't have nobody that I love that's not a member of the church sitting in one of these seats. Because they would run them plumb out of the church and everywhere else because they just, for the sake of wanting to just brag on what they know, they're not doing it in a they're not doing it in a loving manner. Notice, I know we God is spirit, and we must worship God in spirit and in truth. But you need to speak the truth in love. Notice, and we're not perfect. We might not get it right all the time, but at least it needs to be in your mind. I'm not gonna preach and say if you're not in the Church of Christ, you're going straight to hell. What kind of, do you think that's love? Yeah, that's right, Brother Diggs. You're going to be following them right to hell with them. Amen. Oh, excuse me, that wasn't love. That wasn't love. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? One of the things, and I'm only in on time this morning. One of the things is this, is some of us, we are good at loving our own people. Oh, we good, huh? You know, some of us in the church, we got good family men And family, women, we got our children, and we dress them up, and we sit them, and you make sure our children in private school, and I'm not saying private school is good, but we doing everything, and you loving your family, but you got still you your family not the only family in the world. Yeah, all everything we do is focused on me. No, some of us are good at loving our own race. Hello. Yeah, anything? What's the black news today? What's the black? I'm a black American. I'm a Hispanic. It would be a wonderful day when we can just speak, just people. You know, I was having a conversation with Brother David Duncan over at Memorial, and we were having a candid conversation about some things that's going on in the city and the country. And he said, Gary, I love to see a day when we don't have to, because, you know, we planning different things into Campaign for Christ, and we communicate and try to see how we're going to do this. He said, well, what about what would the white churches think about this? And what do the black churches think about this? And I said, well, what do the white churches think about this? And he said, well, what do the Spanish churches think about this? And we stopped and we said, well, it'd be good when we can just stop saying that. We can just speak and make plans like we, yes, it's all family, and we all should be family anyway. That's intentional love. Though we know we're in reality, you have to think of and turn, put yourself in the shoes of somebody else. And you have to intention, it ain't all about me all the time. Notice, that's what Jesus was all about. He went to the well, and he having a conversation with this Samaritan woman at a time that it was unforeseen, and it was just a regular conversation. He didn't hesitate. And we need to be lights in this world. We need to be more intentional in our conversations, in our fellowships, in our social circles, in our schools, in our wherever we are. We need to solve, to calm the storm in this world when it comes to hatred. Number three, and I'm gonna sit down. I hope that we would set a goal in 2016 to obey God carefully. To obey God carefully. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1 in the Old Testament. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. That's what he said. What do you mean, Lord? Jump down to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. Deuteronomy 6, 25. It will be righteousness for us, notice, if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. That's what the Bible said. You think God didn't leave his word for a reason? And that's how we can be careful, is because we have it on record of what God want us to do, be doing. And not, I know I can hear you, somebody write, but that's in the Old Testament. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. He says this. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, just as it did also with you, verse 2, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. Okay, that's what Paul says to them. He says, Lord, please, We are praying that the gospel will spread. He says, and Lord, that we will be rescued from this evil world we living in. That's what he said. This has been a long time ago when Paul wrote this. Do we need that today? Do we need God's prayer? We need to be praying to God that he will save us. And notice this, and rescue us, because he says not all people have faith. And we can't be naive as we go around in this world and as we try to do right and live. Everybody on your job don't want you to do your job. Some people want you to get fired. They don't. And some people, everybody that's living on your street in your neighborhood, and they see you getting up, going to church, and they despise you for getting up every Sunday morning, and they don't get up every Sunday morning. They despise it. Look at it. He think he's something because she thinks he's something. You ain't holy trying to go to church. Nobody never said that. They thinking it. Some of them thinking it. And then some people will plot for us to fall. Yeah, that's one that I had some. I was naive of some years back, and I said, no, people ain't gonna intentionally just want to make it. I said, Lord, have mercy. And then it happened to you one or two or 50 times. Let me finish this. I wasn't through. 2 Thessalonians 3, we're still in 3. Drop down to verse 14. He same church he's writing to. And he says, now, I'm praying that the word is spread. But he says this. If anyone, now he's talking to the saints. Those who have really Christians, he said, if anyone does not obey, this is third goal, say, obey God carefully. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, is what he says, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. That's what Paul said. Now, you see, some people like to say, oh, yeah, I love the Lord. I walk with the Lord every day. I pray to the Lord. God, glory, hallelujah to the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. See, some people talk a good game. I'm glad you're not here this morning. No, we all trying to get better, right? And we might as well tell the truth. You know, when you're raising kids and some children, they're just so sweet. They're around you and they, yes, ma'am. Did you do what I asked you to do? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I did it. And they sweet and they give you a kiss before they go to bed and say all the right things. Oh, ain't they sweet? Oh, just sweet. They just, and you say, well, my Johnny, boy, I got a good kid. But when they get out your presence, I know. Listen, let me tell you something. I honestly better hurry up. But I honestly think I was a pretty good kid when I came up. I think I was a pretty good kid. I think I was just so afraid because I saw how my brothers messed up and got beat down. I said, nay, nay, nay. I don't want that. I learned. I thank God for that. But can I tell you a secret? My daddy, they in here. I might need to say this for second service. I might well tell it since I'm grown now. He can't whoop me now. I can whoop him now. But I used to do some devilish thing, and you know I'm a little leery of saying it because we got children in here, and kids in here, but you know what? They need to hear the truth. Notice it. And I say I used to do some. None of us are perfect. We know that. I say I was a good kid, but I think I was a good kid. But sometimes I would do things, and I didn't know why, influence, trying to show out, trying to just experience life. And you know, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 1, for children to obey your parents. Notice this. For this is right. That's what the Bible says. And you know what? When it says that, it doesn't mean to obey them some of the time. Because the true benefits of obedience is when we do everything they say. See, that's where your blessings come, is when you obey God. And the scripture says, and in Paul, you read 2 Thessalonians, he gave them so much instruction. And we know that we're not perfect, but God put those instructions in his word for us to follow. And then when you look back on your life, as I can look back on mine, that's what, now teenagers, you need to hear this part. I disobeyed my parents on a few occasions. And I'm telling you, the price is not worth the disobedience. That's just the truth. I wish we had time. Notice this. I wish we had time to go to every person that's over 20 years old. And we had time to go around to everybody in here. I mean, I'm not talking about skipping one person. If we had time to go to every person and every person tell you when they disobeyed and tell you the price they paid or are still paying. And the price is not worth the disobedience. And so I would hope that we would set a goal this year. That we're gonna read our Bibles, we're gonna study our Bibles, and we're gonna do what God asked us to do. So we can be blessed. Anybody wanna be blessed? Oh, I'm telling you, you know what? I used to hate whoopings. Oh, that mercy. Can I tell you something? I still hate them. Because my daddy don't do it no more. Some of us took some spankings in 2015. And they hurt. Some of them still hurt. Let's fight to obey God carefully. For he is the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:9. To everyone who obeys him. You're here tonight, this morning, you're not a child of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, I tell your neighbor to accept, unless you repent, you shall also likewise pray. This will be a beautiful Sunday for somebody to come to the Lord. Yes, it would. And repentance simply means to turn, change your mind about sin. I hope I didn't put too much pressure on anybody for somebody to say, but Gary, you're talking about obedience, and I know, you know, I that's my problem. I'm having a hard time. You in the right place. You're in the right place. You don't see nobody in here with halos on their heads. We talking, but we fighting together in this one. And that's what the churches are. The church is an assembly of people. That you can't do this one by yourself. See, you need some folk around you that's trying to go the same way. So even when you step off to the side, someone say, brother, just put the hand, sister. You come up, you can do it. Sister, let me pray for you. You can overcome. Stop trying to do it by yourself. If you're willing to confess Christ, to acknowledge, to not be ashamed, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. So we're not ashamed. No, we're going through struggle, but I tell anybody I meet, my homeboys, my classmates, my school boys, my kinfolk, wherever they go, they know that I'm a believer. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm trying to make it to heaven. I love the Lord. And be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That completes your obedience, and that puts us into Jesus Christ. Notice this. God adds us to the church, Acts 2:47. Now, God adds you to his family, not any family. The scripture would say there's one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The body is the church. The church is the body. He puts us in the body of Christ, the church of God, the church of Christ. Romans 16:16. He puts us in the family, and we be faithful unto death. And he'll give us a crown of righteousness. Somebody want to come to, somebody want to start, want to end this year the best way that you can end. Let's all pray for one another. Somebody come to the Lord as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, tears for you.